Second hour first up here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. A beautiful day ahead of a beautiful long weekend here in Ontario. Canada Day tomorrow. And I was talking, Carlo, to a couple of my buddies yesterday about Canada Day plans. And it's funny how no one really even knows what Canada Day represents, what it signifies, the history behind Canada Day. And I'm not sure if you fall into the same boat, but I think it's important to note that Canada Day celebrates the anniversary of Canadian Confederation, which occurred on July 1st, 1867. You had Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and the United Canadas all coming together in a single dominion. So that's what we're celebrating today, or tomorrow,
well,
I should say.
Thanks for sharing that, because I had no idea.
I didn't think you did. I wasn't going to ask, what is Canada Day? You're like, I don't know. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so it's a holiday in Canada to celebrate the birth of our country.
In many respects, that is true. And we were still under kind of the British rule at the time, the British Empire. But, of course, we have, you know, done away with that affiliation over the years, which is, I guess, is cool. But Canada Day tomorrow, we are off the show. There will be no first up, no overdrive, no gameplay or Leafs lunch. So very exciting day, and I'll be teeing it up with Frankie Corrado. Unfortunately, you will not be in attendance, but next time, I guarantee you will be.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did you find a round for tomorrow?
It's been hard, man. It's been hard. Hard to find a round. Hopefully I can squeeze one out today when I get to the course and maybe trying to finagle my way out to something early tomorrow morning, but we'll see.
Dude, I was there on Saturday. You're like 40 Italian buddies. I'm sure someone will tee it up with you tomorrow.
Yeah, everybody will tee it up for me tomorrow, but there's such thing as called full foursomes that people have already booked.
So what am I supposed to kick somebody out? If I had a former NHL star defenseman who wanted to join me, yeah, I would kick out almost anyone except three guys I'm playing with tomorrow. Well, Jack Campbell, I mean, he's been a big topic of conversation here on this show in Toronto for a long time, since the Leafs were eliminated from the postseason, because he is a pending unrestricted free agent. We've been debating, should the Leafs try to bring him back? What would it cost? And yesterday we got some clarity on that question from TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger, who was a guest on Overdrive.
When you look at some of the other goalies that are entering the market now in terms of the free agent market, and Jack is in that category, Jack Campbell, that's the problem that Toronto, I think, has and other teams might have. But if Campbell goes to open market, you know, is he going to get $6 million? He probably will get $6 million. Oh, he probably will.
Wow. Probably will get $6 million. Excuse me. When did the number six emerge for Campbell? I think we were under the presumption that it would be $5 million, but six, that's a different territory.
Well, I think we all were hoping that the number would be $5 million with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think if people have projected that Jack Campbell, if hitting the market, would easily get $6 million. I'm not saying easily, but you just look at the goalie market and the need for starting goalies in the league and what the top goalies in the market have received in the past. I mean, Grubauer got a $6 million contract last year with the Seattle Kraken. The year before, it was Jacob Markstrom, and these are all guys that were the top of the class in the market. So with the market being the way that it is, with really three guys that most people are targeting, it's going to be Kemper, it's going to be Ville Husso, and it's going to be Jack Campbell. Where do you put Jack Campbell in that category? I think you put him second in that category behind Kemper, and only because Kemper won a Stanley Cup. But, you know, if you have enough team that are willing to bid on him, he's easily going to hit $6 million a year. And good on him for doing it if he does. I mean, this is a guy, I mean, we talked about Ish Smith, you know, traveling, playing 13 teams in the NBA. Look at the places this guy had to play to finally make a name for himself in the NHL, and this is his opportunity to cash in and get the contract that he deserves. I think I speak on behalf of a lot of Leaf fans that you hope it's with Toronto. But based on information that I received around the situation yesterday, I think it's pretty safe to say that he's not going to be on Maple Leaf.
At six million, it just seems far-fetched to say the
least. Even if it's not $6 million, I mean, I think if the Leafs would offer him something in the fives, he would take it. but I don't think the Maple Leafs are prepared to go there with him.
Yeah, you wonder maybe
on, based on what I've been told.
A team like Detroit, that's where he's from, and they've got cap space. They're looking for goaltending. Maybe they're a fit. So it brings the question to light. So Campbell, again, let's just hypothetically cross him off the list. Where do you go next? Is it Andre Fleury?
You don't want to know what I know about where the Maple Leafs go next, because it's...
I do want to know.
No,
I
mean, it's... The names that I'm hearing that are attached to the Maple Leafs right now are Matt Murray and Mackenzie Blackwood out of New Jersey. So, if I'm the Maple Leafs, or if I'm the Maple Leaf fans, be prepared to have at least one of those two names as a Maple Leaf, if not both. Because if Jack Campbell doesn't work out, obviously Jack Campbell is linked to the New Jersey Devils, so that makes sense that Blackwood would be a guy coming back if they do... a trade for his rights before July 13th. But this Matt Murray momentum is starting to pick up, and I don't necessarily know how I feel about it. I really don't, because how do you get excited over that? How do you get excited for the Maple Leafs when you just completed a series against the Tampa Bay Lightning and you said to yourself that you got respect out of the handshake line, that it felt different, that you're getting that much closer, and the next year after that, you're telling yourself that Matt Murray is your goalie?
Well, Matt Murray, if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm trying to pitch this to Toronto Maple Leafs fans here. Matt Murray's a Stanley Cup champion.
I don't care what Matt Murray's resume is. I watched this guy play for the last 2 years, and this guy finds more reasons not to play than he does play.
Well, and that's not exactly a glowing endorsement, and I think there's a lot of people who would agree. That being said, Murray's contract is also a concern, and it's a big ticket. I think it's over five million.
It's over six million a year.
But you would
You're not getting Matt Murray for $6 million. If they do that, it's one of the most ridiculous things they've ever done. But it's probably going to be half of the contract or going to be a situation where he comes in as a buyout candidate. That's what I'm projecting. Not that I know anything behind the scenes about it, but I really don't want to expand on this any further because I don't want to jump the gun and start talking about something that may not happen. But I tell you what, Ben, if Matt Murray is a member of the Maple Leafs, you will not hear the end of it from me.
Well, we are going to jump the gun because we talk about things that may or may not happen all the time on this show. And Matt Murray's got 2 years left with a modified no-trade clause. I don't know how that would work for Toronto. My guess would be Matt Murray would be pretty happy to come to the Leafs as opposed to play for the Ottawa Senators. Not exactly a seismic shift in a dress change. I mean, Ottawa to Toronto is not that crazy when it comes to the NHL circle. So for him, it makes a lot of sense. And it's just one of those things where you look at the list of possibilities for the Leafs in goal. If you were to remove Jack Campbell, maybe Marc-Andre Fleury, Husso,
okay,
Kemper,
stop with the name Marc-Andre Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury Gibson is not coming to the Maple Leafs. So eliminate him from the list because he's not coming to play for the Maple Leafs. So let's just
all right,
not talk
there
about
you go.
Marc
so
Andre
he's
Fleury.
Off the list. Maybe Husso, maybe Gibson, if Anaheim decides to move him. I'm not sure that is something that is high on the
I know Noodles is
Gibson
really high on
six
Gibson.
Gibson makes a lot of money. I mean, right. $6.4 million for a long time. And I've heard the term cost certainty associated with John Gibson. Is that a good thing if you're certain to be paying John Gibson $6.4 million for 5 years or whatever it is? I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. But Matt Murray does make sense on paper. And I'm with you, man. You look at his numbers, his performance over the last couple of years, subpar to say the least. But maybe you could argue it's a reclamation project, a guy who's had a lot of success. And
I know Dubas.
It's just about what are your alternatives?
Well, I know Dubas tried to prepare the fan base that maybe that's the approach that they're going to go at the goaltending position, is to find that next reclamation project like they did with Jack Campbell. And good on them for doing it. But I don't know, man. I just couldn't stomach if it's Matt Murray. I really couldn't.
Well,
maybe Mackenzie Blackwood could be a guy, because he's a guy that, you know, again, we talked about yesterday that he's a guy that was potentially going to be on the Canadian Olympic team, right? He was a guy that, you know, was supposed to be the future of the New Jersey Devils and had a bad year last year. And there's so many reasons as to why, you know, Blackwood could have had a bad year. I mean, he was stuck in the vaccine and COVID sort of, you know, scenario there where he wasn't vaccinated and end up getting vaccinated. So I don't know. It's maybe that's a guy that could use a fresh start somewhere else and, you know, have the year that most people expect him to, or have the year of a goalie most people expect him to be. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I was told yesterday that the Maple Leafs are still in the mix for Jack Campbell, but they have to come up with their offer. And yeah, whatever their offer is, because clearly what he's being told about what he's going to get from the other teams that are interested is pretty significant.
It kind of sounds to me like the Zach Hyman situation from a year ago, where the Leafs had interest in bringing Zach Hyman back at a certain number, and they just weren't able to get to a number that could compete with Edmonton. Hyman leaves. Good for him. Did a fantastic job getting that contract. He's got a great fit there with the Oilers. For Campbell, and I don't know what the number is, how close it has to be for him to stay in Toronto. So we'll ask Mike Johnson, our hockey analyst, his thoughts on Campbell and the $6 million number thrown out by Darren Dreger, and maybe his thoughts on Matt Murray as well as a potential reclamation project for Kyle Dubas and the Leafs. And I guess a lot of that has to do with who ends up where on July 13th as well, right? Like, you know, If New Jersey signs somebody, it could mean that Blackwood is available. But if they don't sign somebody, maybe they keep Mackenzie Blackwood in the fold. So I think a lot of it has musical chairs, so to say, as far as the goaltending carousel in the National Hockey League. We've got Would You Rather coming up on the other side. And again, Mike Johnson at 7:45, James Duthie at 8, and Dylan Strome of the Chicago Blackhawks at 8:30. A very busy Thursday morning edition of First Up, and it continues next.
The evening will culminate with a game.
A contest.
Each player will be given a choice between A or B. Decision-making in its rawest form. Would you rather? You must make the decision.
Decision-making in its rawest form, indeed. That is how we operate here on First Up, especially when it comes to Would You Rather. And Would You Rather is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Use the code 1050 for 20% off and free shipping. Just go to manscaped.com. A man who utilized his Manscaped products last night. Nice beard trim, nice haircut ahead of his trip to Barcelona, is our producer, Arad Asfandi, who has our topics for Would You Rather. Go ahead.
Well, it's NBA free agency, and the two big names on the market right now, Bradley Beal and James Harden. So if you're an NBA executive, would you rather sign Beal or would you rather sign Harden?
At what term?
Well, I mean, assuming they both get max contracts.
I will take... It's hard to say. I don't want either on a max contract. I would take Harden and not feel great about it.
Yikes. No, I'm taking Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal still has some young legs left in him compared to what we saw from James Harden yesterday. And I know Shams Charania said that James Harden is committed to winning in Philly. He's staying in Philly, getting back to his old workout regimen and focusing on fitness and wanting to be a better contributor for the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't buy it. This guy is sailing into the end of his career, making 30, 40 plus million dollars a year, partying in strip clubs, eating chicken wings and stuff like that. Probably diving into the Philly cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. He's done, man. The James Harden of old is no longer exist. I'm taking Bradley Beal over him all day.
Bradley Beal shot 30% from three last year. That's embarrassing, and he is on.
What did James Harden shoot?
I don't know. I would imagine better than 30% from three. I mean, very few players in the NBA shot worse than that. So it's I don't know. I mean, well, it's just one of those like pick your poison situations, right? Where if you're Washington, you're not overly enthused about the idea of giving Bradley Beal a max contract, but you have no other alternatives. Otherwise, you got to let him walk or you trade him for pennies on the dollar because he's still a really good player. I mean, before last year, Brad Beal averaged 30 a game in consecutive seasons. That's not very, that does not happen very often in the NBA, unless your name is James Harden. So it's a difficult one where they're kind of intertwined, I would say. They're very similar as far as their value. So I guess that's why it's a good question for Would You Rather, Arad.
Thank you, thank you. Now let's go to the Raptors and let's ask about a couple of more realistic names there. So if you're the Toronto Raptors, would you rather sign Mo Bamba or Bobby Portis?
Well, I mean, I think this is an easy one. In 20 fingers, I hope you are on YouTube right now finding Mo Bamba, one of the iconic songs of the last 5 years. That being said, I will take Bobby Portis because I think he's more of a stretch big man, a guy who could hit jumpers from the outside. But Mo Bamba's higher upside, a very high draft pick in the not too recent past. So I think Bobby Portis probably would lean going towards him.
So correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just trying to put a face to Bobby Portis. He's the guy who played in Milwaukee, right?
Correct.
Yeah, he's the big man in Milwaukee, yeah.
Yes. I've taken Bobby Portis, too, just because of the experience, the winning, the fact that he played with a guy like Giannis. He's the guy I would choose over Mo Bamba, who really grew up in an Orlando organization as a lost puppy.
Yes, this is Mo Bamba. A song, Carlo, that was robbed by COVID, because this would have been a club banger. And if Mo Bamba makes his way to the six, you know, all the clubs, EFS, Petty Cash, they will be bumping this song nonstop all summer. So I'm going to change my vote to Mo Bamba. Let's do it. All right, Chris, we're good. Arad, what's next?
Gotta love the Orlando Magic. If you are the Leafs, would you rather trade for Matt Murray, assuming there's retained salary on the part of the Senators, or would you rather sign Willie Husso?
Willie Husso. He's changed his name from Billy Husso to Willie. I prefer Willie Husso to Billy Husso, personally. That being said, yeah, I'll go with Husso all day long for sure.
Can I say neither? I mean, okay, yeah, I know. I know a lot of people in St. Louis to say Billy Husso was an unbelievable goaltender this year, but I'm not willing to commit to a guy for 4 or 5 years after only one full season in the NHL. And that's basically what Billy Husso was. This was his breakout year, but we've seen goaltenders have these type of years and then have a hard time finding their game. And I don't want to touch Matt Murray with a 1,000-foot pole, so... I hope the Leafs don't get Matt Murray. God, I hate being so negative about situations. I'm a positive guy, but it's going to be really, really hard to be positive if Matt Murray is a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Let's give our boy DJ MDZ a call, get his scouting report on his teammate Matt Murray.
You don't want to know what it is.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess I know what your intel is with regards to Matt Murray. what else we got, Arad?
Would you rather be like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, you know, a great player on a team that probably won't make the playoffs, or would you rather be a guy like Robert Horry, a mid-level player that was on great championship-level teams basically his whole career?
I get what you're saying about Robert Horry, and yeah, this guy was Mr. Clutch every time he got the ball late in the game, but how do you pass up being Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani?
Two of the best players ever. Or Trout,
anyway. You can't. I mean, those guys are the best players in baseball. You know, Mike Trout for being the almost all-around position player. But what Shohei Ohtani is doing is, I mean, everybody you talk to in baseball is just mesmerized by what they're seeing with Shohei Ohtani. A guy who's that dominant on the mound, and a guy who just mashes baseballs like as far as they've ever seen. So
yeah.
I'm choosing those two guys.
Yeah, not to mention Ohtani and Trout are going to make way more money than a role player like Robert Horry. Listen, titles are great. Playoff series wins are great. You know what's even better? Lining your pockets with cash. And that's what superstars do. So that would be the way
Big shot Bob. He probably trademarked that and sold a lot of t-shirts.
I'm sure Robert Horry's got a lot of money, but you know, relative to the best players and the most, you know, MVPs and so on, I think it's pretty clear that's the way I would go.
I'm with you guys, but I just wish they played some playoff baseball. It's just better for the league.
It's better for the sport of
baseball.
We said that yesterday when they lost again. Did they win yesterday in Shohei Ohtani's start? I didn't see the result.
I think so. I saw Shohei had a big start. I think he had 11 strikeouts. I would guess they won.
Right, they did win, yes. 11 strikeouts. Wow, that's insanity. But, like, we both don't have Angel jerseys, and we're not part of the fan club and stuff.
I do have a Trout jersey.
Really? Okay.
I do,
so
yeah.
I take that back. But baseball needs the Angels to be in the playoffs so that these two players can play at the best time of year. Like, that's ultimately what I want to see, is the Angels find a way to make the playoffs.
I also have an Angels jersey, but it's not a Ohtani or Trout. Vlad Sr. is my Angels
wow.
jersey.
Wow, nice. Okay, yeah. Nice.
One of my favorite players growing up, man. That guy thrown out runners at third base was one of my favorite things to see. Would you rather play for one team for 13 years, or would you rather play for 13 different teams for 1 year each, assuming the money is exactly the same?
I'd rather play for one team for 13 years. That's a pretty easy one for me. Go.
Yeah, I'm the same way, man, especially for coming from a guy that played on seven different teams in eight consecutive seasons. Not fun. You know, I was lucky early enough in my career where for the first nine years I played for, two teams. And it's about finding a groove. It's about, you know, being able to feel settled and feel comfortable in the places that you have to get used to going every day. And especially if you've got family, you don't want to be moving all the time and packing and stuff like that. So being settled and comfortable is the easy way to go. And if you're lucky enough to do that in your career, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks to Rod for Would You Rather. Maybe we'll bring a Rod back for more vacation tales, plans in Barcelona a little bit later in the program. We do have Mike Johnson, our hockey analyst, in about 20 minutes into the Matt Murray and the Leafs. We'll make the connection. We'll get MJ's thoughts on that and a big trade in the NHL yesterday featuring the LA Kings
Monster
and the Minnesota
trade.
Wild. We'll get into that on the other side. Plus, the second Live Tour event tees off in Oregon, and it is clearly the golf event of the week when compared to the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour. We'll get into that as well as First Up continues the second hour here on TSN 1050. Back on First Up, Karolnik Koliakovo with you. 3 weeks since their inaugural event in London, the LIV Golf Invitational Series, taking its talents to the United States of America this week in Oregon at Pumpkin Ridge. By the way, a great name for a golf course, Coco. Pumpkin Ridge.
Why?
But, I don't know. I just kind of like the Pumpkin Ridge. I think Tiger won the U.S. Amateur there back in like 95 or something, and that's what the course is notorious for until this week, where they'll be hosting guys like Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Patty Reed. And when you look at the disparity in talent between what's going on in LIV, what's going on the John Deere Classic, one of the worst fields in golf history, I'm being a little bit, you know, exaggerating when I say that, but it's bad. I mean, Adam Hadwin is the betting favorite. That's not a good sign for your tournament.
Why?
I think that's fair to say.
I know what you're saying. It's a bad field, but Adam Hadwin, yeah, let's go Canada, man.
Oh, sure. I mean, Adam Hadwin's got a hell of a shot this week. Webb Simpson, yeah. Adam Hadwin, your boy Sahith Theegala, and we got to be looking at some live betting when it comes to the early, because you've had some success on that, and you know you're a wise man when it comes to betting golf. So we'll be looking.
That's
at
how
that.
I had Let's Sahith go. Plus 6,600 last week. But
I'm sorry. I had to bring that up.
Sahith let me down on 18.
Sahith is in the mix for sure. But I'm kind of excited for this. When you're talking about the, you know, you're trying to pick between the three different events, because the DP World Tour, I think the Irish Open is going this week. Guys like Shane Lowry and Paddy Harrington teeing it up. But I'm going to be very intrigued as to what's going on the LIV Golf Invitational Series. And I wonder if James Duthie feels the same way, because he has been staunchly opposed to LIV, but he is addicted to golf in a manner that very few are. So I'm curious, maybe this is the week he dives into the LIV Golf Series, and my guess is the answer will be yes. Yesterday in the NHL, big deal. Kevin Fiala, who has kind of flown under the radar for a lot of hockey fans, dude had 85 points, and he did not play with Kaprizov last year either. He was doing it, like driving his own line. He's a really, really quality player. He's traded from Minnesota to the LA Kings, and Minnesota receives a first-round pick in this year's draft and the rights to Brock Faber, who's really quality defense prospect. So I think for both sides it makes sense. And for Minnesota, I mean, they have to pay out those Suter and Parisi buyouts, and they have no cap space, so they needed to get Fiala off the books because they just couldn't afford him. But for the LA Kings, bringing in Fiala, and it sounds like they could be in on Philip Forsberg as well. They're loading up, and I think this is a team that is definitely on the rise.
They are definitely on the rise, but I wonder if that recipe that they're creating can work, because you look at the money that they've allocated to their top players. They've got $10 million in two goalies with Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson. They've got Drew Doughty making $11 million. They've got Anže Kopitar making $11 million. They've got Fiala making just under $8 million. How are they going to fit Philip Forsberg in there? We talk about the Leafs and their struggles with the salary cap. I mean, if this team was in Toronto, they'd be saying the same thing and talking about their money being allocated to certain positions. So by all means, if they can do it, good on them. You know, they got Arvidsson at 4.25. They got Iafallo at $4 million a year.
Deneau.
I don't know how, Deneau, $5.5 million a year. I'm looking at cap friendly right now, and they still have $11 million in cap space. And I just, you come back to the Leafs and saying, how can the Leafs, everybody says $40 million for four players. The LA Kings are sort of building that same type of roster.
A little bit. You're right. Doughty, Kopitar, Fiala, and maybe if they bring in another.
Dude, $10 million in goalies.
And, well, yeah, and you wonder.
We're talking about not being able to pay Jack Campbell $5 million.
Well, now that you mentioned the name Jonathan Quick, do you think maybe the Leafs would kick around? I know he's getting up there in the year.
They should.
He can't stay healthy.
They should.
You'd rather have Quick than Murray, if all things being equal?
100%. Dude, did you see Jonathan Quick play last year? He's still got game in himself. He's only age. He's only, what age is he?
Okay,
he's
36. 37.
He's got 1 year left on his deal at 5.8.
That makes sense. I mean, you think about it, but I wouldn't be overly comfortable if I just had Jonathan Quick, and nor were the LA Kings last year. You would need a competent backup, and I'm not sure Peter Mrazek fits the bill. And I don't know, if you're paying Mrazek and Quick $10 million combined, doesn't really make sense.
I'm fully convinced, based on the people that I've talked to, that the Leafs are going to find a way to trade Peter Mrazek. Yes.
I would hope so. I mean, because I don't think they have any other choice. If they want to bring in a competent goaltender, who's going to command some
salary? Well, they can buy him out, but if that doesn't help their cause. I'm fully convinced that there's going to be a trade here with Peter Mrazek within the coming days.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. I don't see why that would not be the case. We've seen Kyle Dubas kind of correct his mistakes as recently as last season with Nick Ritchie, shipping him off and kind of bringing in Labushkin and costing the second-round pick, and I think it was a second and a third, but clearly that was a strong move for Kyle Dubas, and he's going to need to fix another mistake with Peter Mrazek, and I'm not sure who's going to take him, but if the Leafs are going to bring in a goalie that they, or maybe two goalies that it seems like they're going to need in lieu of Jack Campbell commanding, at least according to Darren Dreger yesterday, upwards of $6 million per season, that seems a little bit onerous when it comes to the Maple Leafs salary cap situation, and it's just a reality, man, like at least for a couple more years until that salary cap blows up and they get it up to 90-plus million, which will happen in the coming years. Mm-hmm. The next 2 years are a little bit of a squeeze. So you look at a deal like Kevin Fiala's, which is basically 8x8, or just a little bit under 8x8, or is it 7x7, or 7x8, whatever it is. He's getting a lot of money on a long-term deal. He's 25 years old. It makes sense. But that's a contract. If Fiala is able to play like he did last season, it's a steal if the salary cap goes up to $91, $92 million. And he's a really quality player. I think that's a strong move from the LA Kings, and they had to pay for it, right? I'm giving up that first-round pick, and that Brock Faber kid is very, very well-regarded as far as his upside goes on the back end. So I think it's a good deal for both sides.
Yeah, look, I think it's a deal that Minnesota had to make just because of the cap hell that they're going to encounter here in the next 2 years. They have $14 million in dead cap space in the next 2 years because of the contracts that they bought out with Suter and Parise. So you talk about an $82 million cap that the Minnesota Wild are operating at $68 million to put the team together. So Fiala was a guy they definitely didn't want to get rid of. Definitely they would have loved to find a way to pay. But if you look at what Minnesota's doing, they're going to need guys. Remember like Matt Boldy, who came in last year on entry-level deal, had a big year. Joel Eriksson-Ek had a big year, sort of like a coming out sort of party for him. They're going to need guys that are first-round picks, that are on entry-level deals, to be big-time contributors for them for the next 2 years while they get through this, while they have guys like Kaprizov and trying to think of some of their other big, like Eriksson-Ek and stuff like that. So maybe they move a defenseman, right? Maybe Matt Dumba is a guy that they move to sort of create some cap flexibility for them. Zuccarello's another guy that they have.
He had a great year.
Foligno, Greenway, Tyson Yost, Ryan Hartman. So, you know, maybe their first round pick that they select this year is a guy that they're looking at can come in and play right away. We'll see how this all plays out for them, but they're going to need some help with their younger players.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And there's a lot of buzz surrounding the Pittsburgh Penguins as well. The status of Evgeny Malkin, could he be on the way out? Where could he land? Chris Letang wants a 5-year deal from Pittsburgh, reportedly, and the Pens want to give him a 3-year deal. And a story that I feel has been maybe under-discussed is Johnny Gaudreau. The guy just had a monster year in Calgary. And there has been very little, at least as far as what I've been hearing, as far as the contract negotiations between he and the Flames. So we'll get into that with Mike Johnson and back to Jack Campbell and what the Leafs can do in net as well, as our TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson will join us on the other side here on First Stop with James Duthie in the on-deck circle after him.
When you look at some of the other goalies that are entering the market now in terms of the free agent market, and Jack is in that category, Jack Campbell, that's the problem that Toronto, I think, has and other teams might have. But if Campbell goes to open market, you know, is he going to get $6 million? He probably will get $6 million. Oh, he probably will.
You're Jonas Siegel there on Overdrive. Oh, boy. Talking about Jack Campbell and Darren Dreger's comments there that he probably will get $6 million as a free agent, and it could be a tough ticket for Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs to swallow, and a ticket probably they're not willing or able to swallow. Let's bring in our TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson into the conversation. MJ, what's going on?
That's a great reaction. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
listen, I guess it's a good time to be Jack Campbell or a good time to be a free agent because there's the Kevin Fiala contract will have Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and Philip Forsberg smiling. Cause
no kidding. How about Nazem Kadri?
Nas as well. And Jack Campbell getting tossed $6 million around. That would make him smile as well. I'll be curious because we still do have like probably 2 more years of a flat cap. So, you know, teams will have to, you know, accommodate the flat cap, then know it's going to go up eventually. So it's, you'll need to see how they respond this next couple of weeks and what kind of deals they can offer up. But remember, what was it, 2 years ago? Markstrom was one of the best goalies in the league the entire year. He got a $6 million contract. Mm-hmm.
Grubauer got $6 million last year.
Yeah, and he was coming off one of the best. Yeah, and it didn't work out very well there. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Toronto goes Jack Campbell for $6 million. I just don't think they go there with him. But
they can't.
You know, if Campbell can get that from one of the teams, and that's the thing, because there's good teams like Colorado, Toronto, Edmonton, that legitimately need a starting goaltender. And then there's rebuilding teams like Detroit or Buffalo that also need a starting goaltender.
New Jersey.
You know, 5 or 6 teams that need and have money to spend on a starting goaltender. So that's the good news for Jack Campbell, maybe not so good news for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Look, we all know what the path that Jack Campbell took to get to the NHL, and this is his chance to cash in. By all means, go ahead and do it. But you know, for the Maple Leafs, I don't think they can afford to go that high with him. But what's your alternative to the Maple Leafs goalie situation? We're hearing names like Matt Murray recently. You know, you're hearing names like Mackenzie Blackwood being linked to the Maple Leafs if there's a trade with Jack Campbell there. What do you, what direction do you think they go?
Well, I mean, I think the goaltending probably takes a couple different things, right? Because if you're going to get a different goaltender, you not only have to go get that goalie, whether it's via free agency or trade, you also have to then shed Peter Mrazek as well, right? Like, you can't have a $4 million backup. The Leafs just can't. They just can't allocate that much money. So first trade Mrazek, if you're going to walk away from Jack Campbell, then I would imagine, you know, that they probably kick some tires on Billy Husso, because he probably will be a little bit cheaper if they believe in him. Although he's only played 60 games, so we'll see how much what the marketplace will bear for him. Yeah, I think Mackenzie Blackwick would intrigue the Toronto Maple Leafs because he's on a good value contract. Maybe they think there's something more there than what happened last year, where he just had so many injuries and COVID situation and everything else, that you might be getting some built-in value of that contract. I don't love, you know, Darcy Kemper or, you know, the free agents out there. They're all going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. One name, if you want to go short-term, what about Varlamov? Yeah. You know, you could trade for him. Sorokin's the starter in the island. He's got one more year. He's proven to be a really good goaltender. He's played for good teams. It's a short-term solution, but if you can't commit or won't commit long-term to one of the guys, you know, maybe Varley might be an option as well. So I'm sure they'll explore all of those depending on the cost to acquire and cost to pay. But the Blackwood one's interesting, though. I could see them just looking around the landscape saying that guy is undervalued right now because of injury and because of his, you know, the COVID and the vaccine and everything else. Maybe they can lock in some value on Blackwood and tap into his upside that everyone thought he had heading into last year.
I do wonder, Mike, if the Leafs would be willing to trade an asset to bring a goalie in and trade an asset to get a goalie out in Mrazek. Right. So you're kind of, you know, that's a lot of assets you're parting with to address your goaltending situation. But we talked about Matt Murray extensively earlier in the show, a guy who's won some Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins, has a pedigree, but has really struggled over the last couple of years with the Ottawa Senators. What is your evaluation of his game at this point in time?
Hey, Caleb, you can't deny the track record. Resume, the accomplishments. I've watched him for a few years in Ottawa, and he hasn't been healthy, and he hasn't been consistently good enough. Now, Ottawa's not a good defensive team, so that would change a little bit when he plays for Toronto, but it doesn't. Like, the performance, you think you're unsure of what you're going to get with Jack Campbell. Well, yeah. Matt Murray would be that time.
No
whatever.
Thanks, man. No thanks.
The same question marks would be there. Like, can he stay healthy? Even if he's healthy, will he be good enough? You'd be really rolling the dice on a guy who already makes six. And unless Ottawa eats some of his salary, you know, you explore other options if it's going to be for the full contract before Matt Murray. I can't think that he would be near the top of the list. He just hasn't been able to be good enough, often enough, in net the last couple of years to feel comfortable hitching your wagon to that guy. Because remember, Toronto has how many more years of Austin Matthews? I hate to bring it up, but they have two more years of Austin Matthews, right? Yeah. So that's going to go very quickly. You have 2 years to try to take a run with this group before who knows what's going to happen. And so you're trying to eliminate as many question marks as possible. And Matt Murray still has a lot of questions about how good he could be.
So the question marks that still surround the Maple Leafs is, what do they do to make this team better? Do they break up a piece of the core? Do they make a big impact trade? And you just look at the Fiala deal that he just signed, where he just signed for under $8 million a year. And you look at Colorado and how they got to, you know, hoisting the Stanley Cup 5 years after they were the worst team in the league. And prior to that, they traded guys like Duchesne and O'Reilly away, and they're still Stanley Cup champions. William Nylander is a guy that makes under $7 million and is probably one of the best value contracts considering what these guys are going to get paid. Is he a guy that they think twice about, or is he a guy that they're still saying, if we get the right offer, we pull the trigger?
You just said it, though, Carlo. I mean, in a cap environment, really what your entire objective is in putting together your team is getting guys who outperform their contracts. So you just said that Kevin Fiala is not as good as William Nylander. Hasn't been, and is not. And so, he's making $1 million
Johnny,
more. So why would you want to trade a guy who's outperforming his contract? I don't think you can.
Before you move any further with this, when you saw that Fiala deal, what was the first thing that came across your mind?
He's going to love Hollywood. He's going to have a good time.
I had to shake my head and make sure that I was reading the numbers right. I'm like, what? Really? $8 million for Fiala? But
timing, isn't it? One amazing run in the second half of the year where he put up about 50 points in 40 games the second half of the year with Matt Boldy on his wing. But you know, he's a .7 per game. So whatever that is. He averaged 55 points per game in his career per 82-game season. Then he lit it up last year where he was over a point a game, I think he was, when it all said and done. That's the marketplace. What's Johnny Gaudreau thinking? I was like, good for him. And, I mean, the LA Kings have cap space. Dustin Brown's retiring. They have a whole bunch of young players. They have the room. Even, you know, a couple of years down the road, Kopitar will go down. Like, they have, Quick's going to be off the books. They have the flexibility to absorb that up until the cap starts going up. Because when the cap jumps to, and it might jump in 2 years to, like, $90 million.
Yeah.
You know, everyone gets a little bit more room there. So they have the room to absorb it until the cap goes up. But it's a lot of money for a guy who's had a great year last year and is a very good player, no question. But $8 million, that is so much.
I was shocked when I saw that.
Yeah, but I think it tells you what offense will cost. Guys that can produce offense. So all those other guys, and it makes the deals of guys like William Nylander that much more sensible. You're like, okay, well, you know, if that's what it costs to get Fiala, we'll take our Nylander at seven and everything else. So, I was talking about Johnny Gaudreau yesterday. I'm like, well, Gaudreau historically has been better. Last year has been better. Same kind of one-dimensional offensive winger, but just much, much better at it. Gaudreau's going to get 10, isn't he? I mean, you see him at 8. Gaudreau's going to get 10 from somebody or very close to it.
Well, and I think that's a question that a number of guys will be facing. You're thinking about Nazem Kadri, Johnny Gaudreau, maybe Malkin, Letang.
Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg. Are you going to take a big contract from a team like Seattle or Detroit or one of these lesser thans, or do you want to stay competitive and chase success, chase Stanley Cups, playoff victories? I think about Kadri in particular, and it doesn't sound like Colorado has any hope in hell in retaining him, just too cumbersome as far as their salary cap situation. But, I mean, I would expect there'd be a team out there paying Nazem Kadri close to $8 million a year, but is that team going to be competitive? And if I'm Kadri, you got to kind of find the middle between these two situations, no, Mike?
Yes. Listen, every player who's on UFA who has a chance is balancing finances, undeniably. They're balancing on-ice competitive opportunities, so what the team's going to look like for the next few years, and they're throwing in lifestyle. Like, what's that city like? Because usually by the time they become UFA, there are family considerations and subcapacity. Where do you want to live? And I can't begrudge anyone for prioritizing any of those things over the other. Like, if Johnny Gaudreau wants to go play in Philly because he wants to be near South Jersey where he grew up, and even if Philly might not be good, like, I can't possibly say that's a bad idea. Like that's your life. Like, that's, you want to be happy. It totally makes sense. And I can't begrudge Nazem Kadri says, well, I want to be really good, so I'll stay in Colorado and sign for $6 million instead of $8 million in Buffalo, let's say. You know, that also makes sense. And I can't begrudge Jack Campbell and say, listen, I've only made, you know, $5 million in my career. I can't take a hometown discount on term and dollars to play for Toronto as much as I love them, because I need to make money for my one chance. They all make sense. They all are probably decisions I would make as well. So, it depends on where you are. If you're Letang or Malkin with $100 million in earnings, maybe, you know, you can forego $1 million or two or three on your salary, and that makes sense for you. But it's all so very an individual decision. And for Nas, I think if he wants to stay in Colorado, he's probably got to go for something about six. Given the fact that he's coming on pretty paid contract for the last few years anyways with originally in Toronto at 4.5 or whatever it was, you know, he probably wants to get back and make the bank. And then you think, Carlo, I don't know what the answer is. Like, you've won one, right? Like, so you've got that.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, can you go to Buffalo or to Detroit or Ottawa and say, I'll take 8.5 for 7 years. Like, that's $60 million. Like, I think I'll take the $60 million as opposed to the $24 million and I've won. And so that I don't need to chase a cup because I've already got one. We'll see what happens over the next 7-8 years of my life. It's a tricky conversation, but I understand every possible dynamic. I will say this, though. Nazem Kadri will likely, except for the age, contract as good as Kevin Fiala's, or better. It's just that he's a little bit older, so I'm not sure what he goes there. But I'll be fascinated to see what happens to him, what the marketplace is, whether it's Seattle, whether it's Buffalo, whether it's Detroit, Ottawa, you know, all Pittsburgh, if Malkin leaves. A lot of teams will need a second-line center, but Colorado will too, because I look at their roster, they don't have a second-line center waiting, unless it's Mikko Rantanen. Better on the
craziness.
Wing. So Colorado needs him as well. So he's in the catbird seat right now. He's going to be busy the next 10 days.
You said the cap going up $90 million in 2 years. I can just imagine what Austin Matthews' contract is going to look like. It's going to be insanely
out nicely.
Big.
Now, I can't, Carlo, think that Austin Matthews read the tea leaves well enough. It was going to be like, he didn't know it was going to be COVID and everything else, right?
I know.
But the fact that he signed his contract, whose term expires basically when the escrow debt is paid off and the cap will explode.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he'll sign the biggest contract ever at that moment.
More than
Connor McDavid.
Yeah. Maybe McKinnon next, and then Matthews, then McDavid, no doubt. MJ, thanks for doing this, my man. Have a fantastic long weekend. We'll chat with you next week.
Boys, hit them straight. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy the long weekend.
You
All
too,
right,
buddy.
You got it. That's Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. James Duthie standing by on the other side. Dylan Strome of the Chicago Blackhawks, a jam-packed third hour on the way next.